usually don't like to make requests publicly for prayer, but this week I found out my sister, I have a younger sister in Florida, her husband died. And then I have another sister in my hometown, also younger than I am, but she's a great grandmother. And her 15-year-old great-grandson, they discovered he has a bone cancer. So if you could remember, if it comes to mind, just remember them in prayer and mention. Yeah, I do want to do something on Christmas, because it's coming up soon. What comes to mind, do you think, in most people when they think about Christmas? Santa Claus? Christmas trees, or especially for you young people, gifts. Only a small minority of people around our world ever think of Jesus Christ first when they think about Christmas. And it's right to think about Jesus Christ first. And it's good. But even among us who primarily are Christians, thinking about Jesus, the mental picture that comes to mind is this little baby cradled in his mother's arms. She's smiling down at him, or else the child laid in a manger, which is the common picture that we see around, and we just sang about it. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem in the same way that you and I were born by our mothers. And while it is true that he first appeared on earth as a helpless baby, isn't it strange that we never allow him to grow up? Can you imagine celebrating George Washington's birthday, focusing on little baby George, cheering, cheerfully rocked in his mother's arms? Or commemorating Abraham Lincoln's birthday by portraying him dressed in his little baby clothes, carried about in his mother's arms? Or can you imagine JFK's birthday and accomplishments being celebrated by having people look at his baby pictures? I don't know of another person ever born to a woman that our culture perpetually keeps locked into infanthood. But they do with Jesus Christ. He's neatly packaged in this way, and too often we can tend to carry this mental image around with us, even as Christians. Babies are cute, and they're innocent, and they're helpless, and they're non-threatening. So for anyone to look at baby Jesus in the manger or pictures of Mary carrying or looking at her son, that's the image that's so often comes to mind. The adult God-man, Jesus, striding across the centuries in his mission of redemption, is too powerful a figure for most people, I think, to be able to get their head around, or at least they prefer a baby that's non-threatening. And I think that's one of the problems we have with Christmas. Maybe not so much among Christians, although I think it is a problem with us too, but it certainly is with the world around us. It's much safer and much more convenient to keep this baby forever dressed in its baby clothes and smiled on by its mother and adored by ancient, awestruck shepherds, but keep him there in the manger. And it's true that all these things happen, and we need to take them into account and appreciate them. But I sort of protest that Jesus Christ is the only person who has ever been locked perpetually into his babyhood. Why don't we celebrate Christmas with pictures of an adult challenging Christ striding across the pages, the powerful figure of the Gospels who left a lasting impression on anybody he ever met? If we celebrate Washington's and Lincoln's and JFK's birthdays by commemorating the significant important things that they have done, why not practice the same things with the birthday of our Lord, Jesus Christ? Let me read to you again the portion of scripture that was read from Colossians chapter 1, because it portrays to us a Christ who is not kept in the manger. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible as well as invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before, or he comes before all things, and in him all things are held together. And for most people today, the sad fact is they don't know who he was. So I want to take a little while from this passage in Colossians to tell you who Jesus, this little boy in the manger, really is. He is the Creator. Verse 16 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. When the eternal Godhead said, let us create, Jesus, the Christ, was the creative power. When he spoke, worlds flowed forth from his lips. He didn't have to do, you know, make things like we make them. He just spoke, and it was. And these things that he spoke into existence took their appointed places in the blackness of empty space. And they remain there where he placed them until he gives the word for them to disintegrate or to move or to flash through the heavens and through the voids of space to a fiery death in our atmosphere or in the atmosphere of some other planet. He merely gestured, and the stars flew into their courses. He smiled, and the sun and the moon and the stars glowed with light. He breathed into common dust of the earth, and man rose from the surface of the ground, glorious and beautiful, and he turned his gaze upward toward God. I think that's where we get the word man, right? The one who gazes upward. He spoke, and myriads of angels happily rushed forth to do whatever he had told them to do. I want to read from Psalm 18. Listen to what it says. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. He heard my voice, and my cry came before him. And then the earth trembled and shook. The foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He rescued me out of the deep waters. He delivered me from my powerful enemy. The Lord challenged Job, if you've read the book of Job. It's hard reading for me. But near the end of it, the Lord really challenged Job and said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? This Creator is speaking to his creation. On what are the earth's foundations fastened? Where were you when the stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted with joy? Who was it who shut up the sea behind doors when it broke forth and said to it, This far you may come, and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt. Let me just hesitate here to say, this is why I don't believe in global warming. It's not us who are in control of our atmosphere. It is our God. Now, certainly we ought to do what we can to take care of the earth. But I don't believe in those things because of verses like this. Our God is in control, not CO2. Can you tell me, God says to Job, can you tell me where, tell me the way where light dwells? And as for darkness, where does it reside? Does the rain have a father? Or who has given birth to the drops of dew? From whose womb does the ice come? Who gives birth to frost from heaven? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts of man? Or who has given understanding to his heart? Was it sweet little Jesus boy? It was in a way. But as Christ the Creator, not as a baby in a manger. Not only was Christ the creator of all, he also is the goal of all creation. Verse 16, by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Someone said, he contains in himself the reason why creation exists and why it is what it is. Have you ever considered that the stars were created for him? There didn't need to be so many, I don't think. Excuse me a minute. But he created them, and he created them for himself. The beauty of the earth was created for him. We can share in the enjoyment and the beauty with him, but it was created by him and created for him. Man and woman were created for him. In fact, you were created for him. Ever wondered why a person with millions of dollars, mansions with TVs and computers and sound systems in every room like Bill Gates? I don't know if Bill Gates is this way, but I know he has those in his house. That this person can have cars and a family and boats. And I've seen yachts parked in the East River in New York with the helicopter on top of the yacht. They can have all of these things and still feel empty, unsatisfied, restless. It's for the very reason that I'm talking about. All of these things were created, and we ourselves created for Christ, for him. There's no peace if we're trying to accumulated all these things for ourselves. No lasting peace or happiness for a person until he finds his rightful relationship with the Creator, Jesus Christ. Many Christians are restless even, and without peace because they have been trying to fill up their lives with things and ideas and success of one kind or another. It's only when we cast all these things aside and allow our whole being to be filled with Christ's Holy Spirit that we'll find the satisfaction that we really crave. And we need to keep in mind that Jesus not only created everything, but he created it for himself. Okay, our scripture says he was the creator, and he was the goal of creation. Everything was created by him and for him. Verse 17 says that he is the preserver of creation. Without him, nothing would be like it is. Let me read the verse. He is before all things. That is, he came before all things. He wasn't part of the creation. He came before all things. And in him, all things hold together. In Hebrews, it says, he upholds all things. He holds everything up by the word of his power. Someone said, it is Christ who makes all things a cosmos instead of a chaos. Jesus is the glue that holds the universe together. I'm not very scientific, but I think within the atom, the protons and neutrons that keep swirling all around in there, and they don't collide, and they don't come apart, unless man plays around with them a lot, they don't come apart. He is the glue that holds it all together so that it works, so that the sun goes where it ought to go and the moon comes where it ought to come, and where all of these things happen. Without the continuing hand of Christ guiding our creation and guiding it moment by moment, not just in some theory out there, without that, all would turn into chaos. Natural laws would not be trustworthy any longer. We would live in a universe that was very capricious. It does whatever it wants to do, and we cannot predict what's going to happen with it. Chaos, rather than harmony, would be the normal experience of our lives. The heavenly bodies would wander from their courses and collide to wreck all of creation. Again, from Hebrews, he upholds all things by the word of his power. From his position of supremacy and authority, Jesus Christ speaks the words that keep order and harmony in the universe. Someone said he's the steering wheel of the universe. It's held by the hands of the one whose hands was pierced for us. Christ spoke, though, of a coming time, still in our future, but maybe not very far in our future, when he will allow chaos to come upon the universe, and it may be, as I say, soon. Let me read a little bit. Immediately after the stress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light. And the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So this time is coming. Christ is the keystone of the arch, if we could use that image, or the center of the wheel. Alexander McLaren commented about Christ this way. Christ is the king. And with our elder brother as the ruler of the land, we do not need to lack. We need not, as so many are doing today, wander through life's many mansions as though it were a deserted house, nowhere finding a person who welcomes us. For everywhere we may behold our Savior, and out of every storm and every solitude we may hear his voice across the darkness saying to us, "It is I. There's no need to be afraid." Lots of times we still forget who he was and limit him to being the little baby in the manger. So as we approach this Christmas season, let's not think only of a baby in the manger. That's appropriate, but it's not complete by any means. At least when we think of the baby in the manger, let's not forget who the baby really was. He's the Lord of all creation. The Creator himself. He is the goal of all creation. Nothing in creation finds its true meaning apart from him. And he is the preserver of creation. He's the glue that holds the universe together and will until he decides it's time to speak the word of chaos and disintegration. And he saves us from that. So let's not forget that this magnificent one who came as a helpless baby grew up to die in our place to pay for the sins that you and I have committed. And he is the savior of all who will put their trust in him. So I pray that it will not be said of any of us on that judgment day, they didn't know who he was. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the way you prepared the world and prepared everything for the sending of your Son. And as we celebrate this time of year and remember our Savior's birth, Lord, help us to remember who you really are and to give allegiance and praise to you. And thank you again that because of you, we don't have to fear death and what lies beyond the grave, for we know that you are there and you wait for us. In Jesus' name, amen.